Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Hey, the Apostle Paul understood being imprisoned. Do you? He knew that it was like being under someone else's command and subject to another person's will, and that could be demoralizing and laborious. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, Paul admonishes all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. You know, this is a difficult principle for us, especially if there's an authority in your life that is treating you unfairly and dishonestly and cruelly, and, well, you get the idea. Though you wish to obey God, your feelings toward the party in question will get in the way. I want to choke that person. Paul understood this, but he also realized that the only true freedom is freedom through Jesus Christ. That is a lesson, my friend. It's exercised here by representing Christ's love to other people. Whitaker Chambers says, freedom is a need of the soul, and it's really nothing else. It is striving toward God that the soul strives continually after a condition of freedom. God alone is the inciter and the guarantor of freedom today. Being free of the authority over you will not make you free, because your inherent need for freedom is that thing which only Almighty God can meet. So trust Him to make you free no matter what your circumstances in life today. You represent Jesus Christ best when you show His love to all people, regardless of how they treat you. That is something to think about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the first 8 verses. The cause of freedom is the cause of God. So did it just take 55 seconds to talk about this election for 2020? Probably. Alexandra Lanes, a Turning Point USA ambassador, released a video recently in which she takes, 55 seconds to define the 2020 presidential election. She warns the woke, W-O-K-E, the woke crowd, that President Trump has the support of many Americans because of you. If you're a liberal and you can't stand Trump and can't possibly fathom why anyone would want to vote for him, let me fill you in. We can't stand you. You've done everything in your power to try to destroy this country by tearing down our police, our borders, our history, systematically destroying our schools, and brainwashing our kids into thinking that socialism is the answer to everything, she says. Demonizing religion and faith, and glorifying abortion, violence, and thug culture. From calling us racist to expecting everyone of every color to follow our laws, to ridiculing us for having the audacity to wish someone Merry Christmas, or have a flag on the 4th of July, or stand for the national anthem. Oh, the horror of it all. Wear a MAGA hat out in public? So much for your tolerance. We're voting for Trump, not because he's the most charming character on the block, but because we vote policy over personality. And we are sick and tired of your divisive and destructive and ignorant and intolerant behavior and beliefs, parading around as some kind of wokeness. Yep, we are voting for Trump because of you. Kinda sums up why the left is so despised and why everybody has a problem with them. We're supposed to ignore Trump's love of country and love of the American people. We're to ignore Trump's desire that this country become the great country that it once was. We're supposed to ignore that Donald Trump wants that greatness because he loves the American people and wants everybody in this country to prosper. Yep, that's it. None of that matters. We're supposed to ignore all that stuff. You're not supposed to vote for that because this guy's got a rotten personality. The truth is that they're the ones burning down America. They're the ones looting your property that isn't theirs. They're the ones that are destroying purposefully the elements of the greatness of America. The president's opponents are systematically going about trying to destroy the Constitution, the concepts of liberty and freedom that have provided the foundation for America. And at the end of the day, it is their personalities that repulse us and a lot of other people in this country. In the end, it's their personalities that we are voting against, not just their destructive policies. What do you think? Well, this is interesting. Muslims. Muslim leaders, particularly representing about some 2 million voters, went for Barack Obama by nearly a 2-to-1 margin back in the day. And guess what? Now they're choosing President Trump by that same margin, arguing they trust him more than they do Joe Biden. It's about the trustworthy Obama, Clinton said good words, but they did not do what they said. Biden's doing the same thing. Lots of good words, no action. Trump does what he says. Yavuz Atalay, the Washington correspondent for Askim Gitizi, a Turkish news site. His words. President Trump has secured historic peace agreements between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, Bahrain and Israel. Other Arab nations are considering similar actions. It's Trump. The poll found 62% of 109 Muslim leaders in this country are voting for Donald Trump. That's even higher than they voted for Barack Obama's support in 2012. The FBI is in possession of that laptop purportedly belonging to Hunter Biden, which contained emails revealing his foreign business dealings, including contacts in Ukraine and China. That, according to two senior administration officials, the FBI declined to confirm or deny the existence of an investigation into that laptop or any emails. It's a standard practice, of course. Fox News has learned that the FBI and Justice Department officials concur with an assessment from the Director of the National Intelligence, John Ratliff, that the laptop is not part of a Russian disinformation campaign targeting Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. And it is an obvious question and answer. Why would anyone want to quell this story? Why would you want to do that, Twitter and Facebook? It became very clear very quickly that those attempts to strangle the Hunter Biden story by these two social media giants left them gasping for air quickly, right? Twitter and Facebook took major steps to squelch the New York Post piece, but wound up giving it far more attention than if they had done nothing at all and let the millions of users share that thing freely. For Twitter in particular, if you had to come up with a plan to reinforce conservative complaints about its liberal bias policies, you could hardly do any better than the tech giant locking down the Trump campaign's account, not to mention that of Press Secretary Kayla McEnany. Gee whiz, are these people stupid or what? In fact, Twitter chief Jack Dorsey admitted in a tweet that the company's conduct, censoring stories and locking accounts with little public explanation, was just, unacceptable. You think? You got that right, Jack. But then he didn't do anything to fix it, apparently viewing the self-inflicted wound as just a big PR problem. Senate Judiciary Republicans plan to subpoena Dorsey next week. He's in big trouble. What a doofus. Speaking of Joe Biden, we were speaking of Joe Biden, right? Where is he anyway? Is he hiding out in the basement again? What happened to him? Remember Joe Biden? He's a longtime senator, 47 years in Washington, President Obama's vice president. He's running for president of the United States on the ballot, going to do that in just 2 weeks. We last saw him a couple of days ago buying a milkshake in North Carolina. Really? Given Biden's present condition, that is a little scary. If you see him wandering in a park going and lost maybe in the crafts aisle over there at Walmart, be sure to alert authorities because they're looking for Joe Biden. His campaign team assures everyone there's no cause for alarm. The final presidential debate is Thursday, and he's just really barreling down on that thing. That's what they're telling you. You believe that, right? You know that's true. Maybe Joe Biden really does need an entire week to prepare for an hour-and-a-half debate, moderated by the liberal MSNBC correspondent. But there's other explanations, right? Last week, we learned how Vice President Joe Biden altered this country's foreign policy to help his son's lobbying interest. Big tech and national media tried to kill that story. Still isn't going away, getting bigger. Facts coming out like that, they tend to persist, and they're hard to erase, and you don't want to talk about that in public. Just a little something to think about. I'll be back with more news right after this. Joy and happiness. Are those words synonymous? Contrary to secular thought, joy and happiness stand in contrast to one another. Perhaps no one realized this more than 19th century Chicago lawyer Horatio Spafford. He took a fierce financial blow when his real estate holdings were mostly destroyed in the Chicago Fire of 1871. And just a short time later, he suffered the loss of his only son. Desperately needing some rest, Stafford and his family planned a vacation to Europe. Let's just get away. Detained by business, Baffert sent his wife and four daughters ahead of him. You've heard this story, haven't you? It's a great one. During their voyage, however, their ship crashed and sank in the ocean. Upon safely reaching shore, Mrs. Baffert wired the somber news. Saved, alone. The Baffert's four daughters, like their son, now gone. En route to joining his grieving wife, Spafford's ship crossed over the exact patch of water where his children had been lost. There, Spafford penned the words of a soulful hymn that has since become an enduring source of comfort in the world today. It is well with my soul. At this time, Spafford was certainly not happy. He was suffering as a grieving father. His hardship didn't overshadow his faith in God, however, and his joy in Christ Jesus. Happiness is determined by circumstances. True joy is a gift from God at all times. If you're reeling from life's pain today, bring your suffering to the cross. There, God will turn your sorrow into dancing. Psalm 30, verse 11. What a message. Well, yesterday, the U.S. Department of Justice plus 9/11 state attorney generals filed an antitrust lawsuit against Google, going after the biggies now, every single one of its nap pods as well. Google could be in some trouble here. It's big. The U.S. government hasn't brought an antitrust case of this size since it tried to chop down Microsoft way back in 1998. The DOG says Google abused its market power to stifle any competition. Remember, it's not illegal to be a monopoly in this country. Otherwise, why would we have a board game celebrating it? What is illegal is using that market dominance to box out any rivals. Ha ha! The DOJ argues that Google illegally used contracts to ensure its search engine was the default option preloaded on cell phones, including Apple's iPhones and its own Androids, blocking any competition. Bad, bad Google. Google said in a blog post that the DOJ's case is deeply flawed, and if successful, would hike up phone prices and force inferior search products on the consumers. Of course, that's what they would say, right? Let's get out there today and buy a house. A single-family home building hit its highest level since 2007. Really, 13 years ago? Happened in September, cementing the housing market as really the most valuable player now of the economic recovery game. Housing. Nancy did not get her way. Yesterday, House Speaker Pelosi continued her stimulus negotiations. Is that what they are? With the White House. They've been doing that since July, but yesterday it was special because, hey, it's only 2 weeks to the election. And it was the deadline Pelosi set last weekend for a stimulus deal. But as we learned in college, deadlines are flexible. Pelosi said lawmakers needed to get their terms on the table, and they can finish the bill later this week. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said big differences remain, but an agreement could arrive before you hit the pumpkin patch this weekend. That's a good sign. So with the plandemic, watching lots of TV, you can probably guess how Netflix did based on your own 2020 experience so far. In March, you spent more time, on the average here in America, you spent more time with the streaming service than you did with your closest of friends. But in July, you started to figure this thing out. The TV ain't cutting it. Netflix lost momentum last quarter, missing Wall Street's expectations on earnings as well as subscriber additions. What do we do now? Do like we did as kids. Get outside. Enjoy God's great creation. Hey, remember the day when the Hummer, that SUV, the Hummer, got like 2 miles to the gallon? Hey, if your friends roll up in a new Hummer now, they can skip all that guilt, right? GM did it last night. They unveiled the new electric Hummer. Features a 350-mile range crab mode for diagonal off-road movement, driver assist software, digital cockpit system designed with, what was it designed with? GMC. Now the owner of Hummer says this is going to do it. You're going to want to have a Hummer in your family. Yeah, right. Hey, want to close this thing out with a big thank you for you for praying for me. Went to the orthopedist yesterday, and yep, just as we thought, there's a big bulging disc there, and spurs on those vertebrae. And anyway, we're going to start with some shots in the spine. Sounds like fun. anything to relieve this numbness in my arms and the headaches and all of that. So once again, thank you so much for praying for us. It's good to have people praying. Thank you very much. Where is my Bible? We'll get to that right after this important message. Most of the meetings that we conduct are on the very practical side of your Christian life, my friend, things that you deal with every day. Most notably in the area of the media, we talk a great deal about today's music, as we already have on this program, about the television programs, that all of them leading to the left are leading toward the things of the world, and a Christian can't possibly win that way. We've gone through entire weeks of talking in churches about, again, the influence of the world today in the life of the Christian. Of course, I've shared several times about our demonic attacks over the decades. That, of course, affected our family, our ministry, everything, but it did change our lives for the good, and we've been able to share that in churches who have never heard of some of the things that we've talked about before, but I think are very important, and I believe that's why some say that it's been life-changing in the ministry of some churches in America. Get in touch with us, my friend. I would love to talk to you about this. It's your pastor. Give us a call. Contact us at Greg Patton Ministries, gregpatton.com. You can email and say, hey, want some information. Love to talk with you about the world today and things going on in it. God is great all the time. Well, in this crazy, mixed-up world, it's hard to find peace. Or is it? When's the last time you experienced absolute peace in your life? How long did that thing last? Have you somehow concluded that peace is a rare commodity that comes only occasionally and then remains here briefly and fleets? And, well, the good news is you don't have to regard life that way. In the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says that we can protect our peace and how to do it. Remember, this author is not wealthy, not prominent, and he is not relaxing at some scenic resort. He's writing here from a Roman prison, where he's chained to a guard 24 hours a day. Though unjustly accused and in danger of losing his very life, he keeps talking about joy and peace. How could anyone have peace in such a situation? And the peace that Paul describes is very real, very practical. He tells us his contentment is a learned quality, Philippians 4:11. And the key to experiencing this is refusing anxiety and choosing instead to trust a sovereign God with all of your trials in life. Therefore, true peace does not mean the absence of hardship, but rather a sense of tranquility and serenity, even in the midst of trouble, difficulty, no matter what it is. And what is peace like? Paul calls it the peace which surpasses all understanding or comprehension. It simply can't be explained in human logic. This divine serenity is deeply satisfying and far beyond your understanding. It's not something you can work up either. It originates with God Himself. Ephesians 2:14 tells us that Jesus is our peace. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have true peace because we have Him. That is, God has grafted us into the vine and placed us in Jesus Christ. When you receive Him, we receive God's gift of perfect peace. John 14:27 says that God's peace is unlike what the world calls that by name. It's unaffected by circumstances, and it has keeping power. It protects your mind from troubling thoughts and your heart from a detrimental emotion. Thank God that we don't have to analyze or understand peace in order to enjoy peace. Isn't that great? If God makes it possible for us to have such an incomprehensible peace, why do we lose that? Can you answer that? Why do we lose it? To understand how peace can be lost, you got to realize, first of all, the difference between legitimate concerns, family, health, work, and anxiety, which are those tormenting thoughts, such fretful worries which stem from a fear of losing control over circumstances, cause us a great deal of harm emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Think about how anxiety affects you. It divides the mind, makes you afraid to act, causes you to withdraw, and furthermore, it can result in depression, a defeated attitude, disbelief, doubt. It can wreak havoc on your health. And of course, there are times in our life when we're thrown off balance for a moment, but as Christians, we need not remain in that condition. If our caring becomes fretting, then we ourselves have set down our peace and moved over into the anxiety category. Scripturally, however, it's impossible to legitimize anxiety because of, well, several key biblical truths. God's sovereign, for one. In other words, he's in control of everything that happens to us, right? And he's omniscient, which means that there is not one single detail, past, present, or future, that's going to escape God. Nothing. He's omnipotent. He has the power to change our circumstances at any time. And this good stuff. And he's our loving Father. He will do the right thing every time, and with our best interest in mind. There are several tests that you can apply to determine when justifiable caring has become anxiety. First of all, are you more concerned about what you desire than about what is the will of God for your life? If you think about manipulating your circumstances, it could be a big issue. Do you find yourself being hurried into making unwise decisions? And finally, do you constantly feel agitated or perturbed about something? Any of these could be symptoms of trouble because anxiety is not the plan, will, or purpose of God. His perfect peace is. The first thing I need to realize, you need to realize, is that peace is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Jesus told us that. Though he would be going away, the Father would send his Holy Spirit to be with us, in that great, and upon us, and in us, John 14:16-17. Peace, along with love and joy and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, that's the overflow and the outflow of God's Spirit living on the inside of us. It's a gift of Almighty God. You know what you need to do? Give your concern to God immediately, telling him, Father, I bring to you this trial, this thing in my life. It's beyond my control. I feel helpless in the situation. You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. You're omnipresent. I'm resting in you and trusting that however you choose to handle this thing is really going to be an expression of your love, your power, and your desire to do the very best thing for me. The peace of God will safeguard your heart from becoming unruly and your mind from being swept into that anxiety category. Remember that you have one or two choices. You can be earthly-minded or God-centered. If your focus is not on the Lord, then you're going to have great difficulty lifting your heart and mind to get his perspective. If you're focused on him, you will have peace no matter what. The Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only real peace giver, according to Isaiah 9:6. If you've never trusted him as your personal Savior, you know what? If you've never experienced his wonderful, incomprehensible, perfect peace that he can give, you need to receive Jesus Christ today, because that gift is there for your asking. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not do that today, my friend? So I was talking to two of our pastors over the weekend. Oh, it's really cool. They are former Amishmen, Pastor Paul Smucker, Pastor Emmanuel Swartz. Those are good Amish names, right? Two men were desperate need of cash, but admittedly they were a bit cowardly, so they thought maybe they'd break into the Amish market. The logic being that since the Amish were so non-resistant, even if they were caught, nothing could happen. I asked the guys about this. However, as they were breaking into the cash register, the owner turned on the lights and he was holding a shotgun. Calmly, he said, "Boys, I would never do thee any harm. And yet, you are standing where I am about to shoot." I don't know if that's true or not. Hey, you've been listening to Hello World. I've had my say for another day. Hello World. News, information, comment, opinion, all that kind of stuff. Every day at this time, hundreds and hundreds and thousands listening every day, especially down there in Tennessee and Virginia. And I mean it. Thanks so very, very much. Tell others about the broadcast. Pray for us up here. We're going on the radio every day here in Fort Wayne. We're looking for some exciting things. Only local church in the whole area on the radio. You know how that works. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Thanks for your prayers. See you tomorrow.